वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 43 द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा किल्स द एलिफेंट टेक्स्ट फ्रॉम 8 टू 17 जनरली वी रीड द फर्स्ट वर्स बट टुडे आई टुक द 17th वर्स टू रीड बिकॉज दैट्स वन ऑफ द वेरी फेमस वर्सेस सो आई जस्ट गो थ्रू द इनिशियल वर्सेस एंड देन वी विल रिसाइट दिस वर्स टुगेदर This is text number 8. Translation. Lord Krishna then grabbed the powerful Kuvalya Pida by the tail and playfully dragged him 25 bow lengths as easily as Garuda might drag a snake. Text 9. As Lord Achyuta held on to the elephant's tail, the animal tried to twist away to the left and to the right. Making the Lord swerve in the opposite direction as a young boy would swerve when pulling a calf by the tail. Text 10. Krishna then came face to face with the elephant and slapped him and ran away. Kuvalya Pid pursued the Lord, managing to touch him again and again with each step. But Krishna outmaneuvered the elephant and made him trip and fall. Text 11. As Krishna dodged about, he playfully fell on the ground and quickly got up again. The raging elephant, thinking Krishna was down, tried to gore him with his tusk, but struck the earth instead. Text 12. His prowess foiled and the lordly elephant Kuvalya Pid went into a frenzied rage out of frustration. But the elephant keepers goaded him on and he furiously charged Krishna once again. 13th verse. The Supreme Lord, killer of the demon Madhu, confronted the elephant as he attacked. Seizing his trunk with one hand, Krishna threw him to the ground. Text 14. Lord Hari then climbed onto the elephant with the ease of a mighty lion, pulled out a tusk, and with it killed the beast and his keepers. 15th verse. Leaving the dead elephant aside, Lord Krishna held on to the tusk and entered the wrestling arena. With the tusk resting on his shoulder, drops of elephant's blood and sweat sprinkled all over him, and his lotus face covered fine drops of his own perspiration, the Lord shone with great beauty. 16th verse. My dear King, Lord Baladev and Lord Janardhan, each carrying one of the elephant's tusk as his chosen weapon, entered the arena with several cowherd boys. So this is the next verse which we'll recite now, text 17. Malla nama shanir ninam naravarastre nam smaro murtiman. Gopanam swajano satam shiti bhujam shasta swapitro shishu. Gopanam swajano satam shiti bhujam shasta Mrityur bhojapate virada vidusham tatvam param yoginam. Vrishni nam para devate ti vidito rangam gata sagraja. Vrishni nam para devate ti vidito rangam gata sagraja. Malla nam ashanir nirnam naravara stri nam smaro murtiman. Gopanam swajano satam shiti bhujam shasta swapitro shishu. Gopanam swajano satam shiti bhujam shasta swapitro shishu. मृत्युर्भोजपतेर्विराड विदुषां तत्त्वं परं योगिनाम्। वृष्णीनां परदेवतेत विदितो रङ्गं गता साग्रज। माताजी, word to word mallanam for the wrestlers, ashani lightning, nranam for the males, naravara the best of men, strinam for the woman, smaraha cupid, murtiman incarnate, gopanam for the cowherds, swajanaha their relative, asatam impious, shitibhujam for the kings, shashta apanishar, swapitro for his parents, शिशु अ चाइल्ड, मृत्यु डेथ, भोजपते फॉर द किंग ऑफ द भोजस कमसा, विराट द टोटैलिटी ऑफ द मटीरियल यूनिवर्स, अविदुषाम फॉर द अन इंटेलिजेंट, तत्वम द ट्रुथ, परम सुप्रीम, योगिनाम फॉर द योगीज, वृष्णिनाम for the members of the Vrishni dynasty. Paradevata, their most worshipable deity. Iti, in this ways. Viditaha, understood. Rangam, the arena. Gataha, he entered. Sa, along with. Agrajaha, his elder brother. So we are now in a climax where now Lord Krishna is entering along with Balram in the Rangabhumi, in the sacrificial arena. Now for many of them, people who are in the sacrificial arena, it's going to be the first time they are going to see Krishna and Balram. So with that we speak the translation now. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the woman as Cupid in person, the cowherd man as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of Bhojas, Kamsa, as death, the unintelligent as the supreme lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes the following verse which explains the 10 attitudes toward Krishna described here as follows. Raudra adbhutascha shingaro hasyam viro dayatatha bhayanakascha bibhatsaha shantascha prema bhaktikaha. There are 10 different moods. First, fury, as pursued by the wrestlers. Wonder, by the men. Conjugal attraction, the woman. Laughter, the cowherds. Chivalry, the kings. Mercy, his parents. Terror, Kamsa. Ghastliness, the unintelligent. Peaceful neutrality, the yogis. And loving devotion, the Vrishnis. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that people like the wrestlers, Kamsa, and the impious rulers perceive Krishna as dangerous, angry or threatening because they fail to understand the actual position of personality of Godhead. Actually, Lord Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher. But because we rebel against Him, He chastises us, and thus we may perceive Him as threatening. Krishna or God is actually merciful, and when He punishes us, that is also His mercy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following Vedic statement. Raso vai saha rasam hi evayam labdhvanandi bhavati. He Himself is rasa, the taste or mellow of a particular relationship. And certainly one who achieves this rasa becomes anandi, filled with bliss. This is from Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur further quotes a verse to explain the word rasa. Vetitya bhavana vartma yas chamatkara bharabhu riddhi sattva jole bodham sattva jole bhadam swadate sa raso mataha. That which is beyond imagination, heavy with wonder and relished in the heart, shining with goodness, such is known as rasa. As Srila Rupa Goswami elaborately explains in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 5 main rasas: neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental love and conjugal love. And there are 7 secondary rasas: amazement, humor, chivalry, compassion, fury, fear and dread. Thus altogether there are 12 rasas, and the supreme object of them all is Sri Krishna Himself. In other words, our love and affection are actually meant for Sri Krishna. Unfortunately, out of ignorance, we stubbornly try to squeeze happiness and love out of material relationship which are not directly connected to Krishna, and thus life becomes a constant frustration. The solution is simple. Surrender to Krishna. Love Krishna. Love Krishna's devotee and be happy forever. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्य श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो द सीन ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम हैज चेंज्ड फ्रॉम वृंदावन, वी आर ऑल इन मथुरा एंड द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ मथुरा आर गोइंग ऑन। इन फैक्ट इट इज अ सीरीज ऑफ लीलास विच कृष्णा इज परफॉर्मिंग विच आर ऑल वेरी एक्साइटिंग, बट एट एवरी स्टेप कृष्णा इज फेसिंग सम एक्साइटिंग थ्रिलर एडवेंचर एंड कृष्णा इज कमिंग आउट सक्सेसफुल। कम्स हैड फूलिशली कॉल्ड कृष्णा टू हिज कैंप थिंकिंग दैट इफ कृष्णा कम्स टू हिज ओन प्लेस हिज ओन लैंड कम्स हिज लैंड देन कम्स मे गेट एन एक्स्ट्रा एडवांटेज ओवर दैट। इट्स अ कॉमन थिंग इवन इन स्पोर्ट्स देर इज अ कंसेप्ट ऑफ होम पिच। So Kamsa is trying out in a home pitch, but he does not know that he is inviting a champion of champions. A champion of champions, whether it's home pitch or foreign pitch, they always turn out victorious. And Krishna is already striking and killing so many demons, achieving things. But Kamsa is hopeful that he will be successful. And so he is. This is the last day of his life. Disappearance is about to come. So we are in Mathura now, and I was just going through this book, Vrindavan Mandal Parikrama, and found very interesting things about Mathura. We'll begin with that as an introduction. It is mentioned that many Puranas quote Mathura as a very holy city. In fact, there are 7 holy cities in India: Haridwar, Kashi, Ujjain, Dwarka, Kanchi, Ayodhya, and Mathura. So Mathura is one of the holy cities in India, and it is mentioned that Mathura, which lies in the Madhuvan forest or the 12 forest of Braj, the name Madhuvan has come because Lord Krishna, Lord Hari, previously had killed the demon Madhu there. Lord Hari, Lord Krishna's incarnation, had come and killed demon Madhu. And Madhuvan had, the name had come because of the demon Madhu who stayed here. So that's how Madhuvan name came. And it is said that when the demon Madhu was killed, later his son Lavanasura became the king. And Lavanasura also was not less than his father. He also had committed great atrocities and disturbed the neighboring kingdoms. And therefore during the Treta Yuga, it is mentioned that Lord Ramchandra had sent Shatrughna to Madhuvan to kill Lavanasura. So that also happened in Madhuvan. Shatrughna came here in Madhuvan. He killed Lavanasura, and then because that kingdom initially belonged to the Surya dynasty, which was also part of Lord Rama's kingdom, Shatrughna became the king that place. And because he became the king, he had to establish a city. Shatrughna established the city of Mathura as his capital. So therefore Mathura is part of Madhuvan. So now in Madhuvan we are about to enter Rangabhumi, Rangashala. Now, Kamsa had arranged this sacrificial arena. Just like sometimes in some country, a big event takes place. Asian Games, Olympics, whatever. So they arrange a new city around that place, or a stadium, just to facilitate that program. So to facilitate this program, Kamsa also arranged a newly built Ranga Kshetra, Ranga Bhumi, Ranga Bhavan, or Ranga Shala. Kamsa had his favorite deity of Lord Shiva very close by. And that is the place where it kept the Dhanur Yajna, which Krishna had previous day destroyed the Dhanur Yajna, the bow. And Kamsa had hoped that during the Dhanur Yajna, he would also arrange for a wrestling match as a part of celebration. And in the wrestling match, he will take care of Krishna. So this Rangabhumi is even today in Mathura. If you go to Mathura, which is a very crowded place, and a part of Rangabhumi is there. Rangabhumi was a very huge place. Now there is so much of encroachment, so many buildings there. But part of Rangabhumi is still existing. And the very place where Kamsa also was killed, Kamsa Teel, is also there in Mathura. In fact, it is mentioned when Krishna was invited to Ranga Kshetra, Rangabhumi, on the gate, as we saw in the translation, Kamsa had arranged for Kovalya Peed. So Krishna was not actually welcomed properly. Because to welcome Kamsa should have come, but he had arranged for Kovalya Peed to kill Krishna. So anyways, Krishna killed Kovalya Peed and also the elephant keepers who were kind of goring the elephant to attack Krishna. Then he entered this Rangabhumi, and this is a verse which mentions that when Krishna entered, all the different people, here there are 10 different groups or 10 different types of people mentioned, who see Krishna all differently. So this is called as Krishna, therefore it's called Akhila Rasamrita Murti. That means one can derive any amount of rasa, because Krishna is reservoir of all pleasure. So in Ranga Kshetra, Krishna enters, and then as the story progresses, Krishna will kill Chanur and Mushtika. And after killing Chanur and Mushtika, then the story goes on. Even though it is not part of my class to speak about Kamsa's killing, but we will take the advantage of speaking of Kamsa's killing also, because any story should not be left half. Like I remember one time I had 98 sometime like that. Gauranga Prabhu had invited me for a program in IIT, where that time formerly Devamrit Prabhu was giving a lecture. And I remember there was a drama festival that drama had arranged, and Gaurhari Prabhu and his troop were doing drama. And in that drama, the drama was how Krishna defeats Chanur and Mushtik. So it was amazing drama. Gaurhari Prabhu was Krishna, and one more devotee was Balram. So they entered into the drama, and Kamsa was saying, "Chanur Mushtik, fight, fight," you know. And finally, Krishna killed Chanur Mushtik. So they must have not rehearsed the drama. What had happened is when Chanur Mushtik was killed, the drama was over. But Kamsa was remaining standing there, you know. Nothing happened to him. So the abrupt end of drama, where thank you very much was said, and then Kamsa remained there and Krishna was there. Nothing happened because the script ended. The script should end with Kamsa's killing. So Krishna, after killing Chanur Mushtika, it is mentioned that Krishna jumps on a dais where Kamsa is there. He pulls Kamsa down from the dais and sits on his chest and pounds his chest with his fist. And Kamsa's life here goes away. And then it is mentioned that Krishna, just to show everyone that Kamsa is dead, Krishna drags Kamsa by his hair all over the Rangashala, Rangabhumi. Just like a person, a player, when he wins a trophy, he goes all over the ground showing his trophy. So Krishna is showing his trophy, dead Kamsa, and pulling, because Kamsa was a terror for everyone. So everyone is confirmed, Kamsa is killed, and then they were rejoicing, you know. Many people were also afraid of rejoicing. What if Kamsa is still alive and he sees us rejoicing? So Krishna confirmed to everyone, Kamsa is dead. And it is mentioned that Krishna, he dragged Kamsa from Rangashala to the banks of Yamuna. So while he dragged Kamsa from Rangashala to the banks of Yamuna, Kamsa's body was so huge that Kamsa's body created a canal. Even today that canal is there in Mathura. It's called as Kamsa Khara. So you can imagine how mighty or how powerful Kamsa is. And then after killing Kamsa and arranging for his funeral, It is mentioned, come, Krishna went to the Vishram Ghat and he took some rest after the tiring match, killing Kuvalyapit, Chandur Mustik and also Kamsa. So it is said so that the day, this very day which we are discussing, it is Chaturdashi. That means after Ekadashi, Dwadashi comes, Trayodashi and Chaturdashi. So Chaturdashi, Krishna had very, Kamsa had very intelligently arranged the whole match on Chaturdashi. Because Chaturdashi happens to be day of Lord Shiva. Shiva Chaturdashi, which is also called as Shivaratri. So every month there is a Shivaratri, and once in a year there is Mahashivaratri. So Kamsa thought that along with the home pitch, the day should also be favorable to me. And because I am a devotee of Shiva, Shiva's day will favor me. So Krishna killed Kamsa on that day and pleased Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was very happy, and after that Lord Shiva got the name Rangeshwar Mahadev. So even Rangeshwar Mahadev is there in Mathura today. So just like we have this Dashara festival where people congregate in different big grounds and they make an effigy of Ravana and someone supposed to be like Ram. Sometimes they invite political leaders also. So they hit an arrow and they destroy Ravana, the effigy of Ravana. So even Mathura also today, the Chobe Brahmanas of Mathura, who are very famous, they enact this pastime of Krishna killing Kamsa even today. So in the month of Kartik, a day before Deva Uttana Ekadashi, even today in Mathura, the Chobe Brahmanas, they erect a 30-foot statue of Kamsa and they arrange for a Krishna, a boy, and then the boy destroys the statue. And after that, the Chobe Brahmanas, they carry the head of that statue, Kamsa, and come to Vishram Ghat and throw the head into the Yamuna. And then they all take Vishram there and have a nice party of food. So this is even today performed. So we can imagine that Kamsa was a terror not just that time, but even today also Kamsa is remembered for the terror he caused. So it is mentioned that as Krishna was entering the Rangashala, Rangabhumi, so some of the cowherd boys, boyfriends of Krishna were there. Many were already in the stadium waiting for Krishna to come. But somewhere with them, one of them was Sridhama. So Sridhama asked Krishna, Krishna, you are entering into Rangabhumi and I have heard that there are going to be wrestlers, there is going to be Kamsa. I am a little afraid of actually you entering the arena because will you be able to kill Kamsa? Will you be able to kill the wrestlers, Chandur Mustika? So Krishna said, don't worry. And Krishna then assumed a mighty Lord Vishnu form, where he was carrying in his four hands Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And when the Sridhama and all the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna saw that Krishna is really capable now, they said, very nice, very nice. So Krishna assumed his size again, and then the boys, especially Sridhama, said, now we are confident. We know that whenever you need help, Narayan will enter in your heart. And Narayan will do things to you. And that is how you are always victorious, because Narayan always manifests through you. So to commemorate that pastime, even today in Mathura there is a place called as the Dirga Vishnu temple, where the deity of Dirga Vishnu is there. That is the place exactly very close to Rangashala, Rangabhavan, where the pastime of Sridhama asking Lord Krishna to show his strength took place. We'll discuss something on the last life of Kuvalyapid and Chandur Mustik, and then we'll take the purport. It is mentioned that in the last life, Kuvalyapida, he was the son of Bali Maharaj and his name was Mandagati. Amazing name. So Mandagati was very powerful. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants. But somehow or other, sorry, not 10,000, 1 lakh elephants. Because of his power, he would go around. When he would go around, he would not care for people. He would just push people. So he came to temple. He came to Ranganath temple in Srirangam, Trichy. And he entered the temple. He thought that he is very powerful. He doesn't have to stand in line. So just when he was entered, he was pushing people like this. So everyone was afraid of him. No one told anything. But there was one sage Tritamuni, who was also in the line waiting for Ranganath's darshan. So he got a push and he went flying away. So Tritamuni became so confused. He saw, who is this devotee who is like, you know, entering in such a way? Then he saw that this is Mandagati, the son of Badi, who is very proud of his strength. So Thitamuni very mercifully cursed him. He told him that you are very strong and therefore you are behaving very wild. Become a wild elephant. So Mandagati realized, before taking darshan, he realized that before even taking darshan, he may become elephant. So Mandagati became more concerned. He came back and he offered his dandavats to Thitamuni and said, please forgive me, I am very sorry, but this is my style, what can I do? So Thitamuni became very concerned for him and he said, okay, I can't take my curse back, but I will make it more better. And then he told him that you will be born on the earth planet, you will be born in such a way that you will be ultimately killed by Krishna's touch and then you will attain liberation. So in this way, Mandagati very much immediately became Kuvalya Pida, and he was staying in the Vindhyachal ranges of mountain where he was always causing terror. So once Jarasandha was moving with his army and he saw this elephant, mighty elephant, and Jarasandha wanted that elephant in his camp. However, it was very difficult to get him in control. So Jarasandha used almost like 1 lakh elephants to control and tie up Kuvalya Pida. And this way, this prized possession of Kuvalya Pida, the angry wild elephant, came into the treasury of Jarasandha. So Jarasandha, whenever he would go for a victory march, conquering kingdoms, he would take Kuvalya Pida with him. But along with Kuvalya Pida, he would also keep strong elephants to keep that Kuvalya Pida in control, because Kuvalya Pida would anytime go wild. So Jarasandha was marching across near the banks of Yamuna. He was going to some other territory. And for overnight, he had arranged for a camp. This camp was exactly on the banks of Yamuna opposite Mathura, where Kamsa was ruling. So that particular evening, Kuvalya Pida left the camp in a wild, that means like when an elephant becomes has that particular liquid oozing from his head, it becomes mother, intoxicated. So that elephant, Kuvalya Pida, broke all of his bondage and ran across the Yamuna, entered into Mathura city and caused havoc in Mathura. And finally reached the place where Kamsa was playing his wrestling mock fight with his wrestlers. So everyone was terrified. Kamsa saw that this elephant has come, Kuvalya Pida. So Kamsa went charging to the elephant. And Kamsa picked the elephant with his first two legs and rotated him on the head and threw him back. And the elephant came back to the camp of Jarasandha, landing there. So Jarasandha was first of all initially perturbed where the elephant has gone, and now it became more difficult to understand how this elephant came flying from there. But he realized someone very mighty is very close by who has thrown the elephant back. So Jarasandha entered the kingdom of Mathura and met Kamsa, and then he came to know it was Kamsa only. So Jarasandha saw that this is the right person to have a good ally with him, you know. And one of the best ways to have ally is to immediately bring him in relation. So it happened so that Jarasandha was along with his travelling troop, he also had his daughters Asti and Prapti, I think so, something like that. Asti and Prapti, yeah. So immediately Asti and Prapti, Jarasandha arranged their marriage with Kamsa. Soon as Kamsa became his very close relative. And this Kuvalya Pida from Vindhyachal range came to the treasury of Kamsa. It was this Kuvalya Pida which Kamsa used to defeat Krishna. But then as per the promise and blessings of Thitamuni, Kuvalya Pida was given liberation by Krishna. And regarding Chanur and Mustika, it is mentioned that Chanur and Mustika, in their previous birth, they were staying in the heavenly planet Amaravati, and they were the sons of sage Uthatya. So these five wrestlers, Chanur, Mustik, which their name is now Chanur, Mustik, Kutashala and Toshala. So there are five sons of sage Uthatya, and it is mentioned that they were supposed to study in their guru's ashram and become brahmanas. But they were not interested in studying scriptures. Instead, they would regularly go to Bali Maharaj's camp and see wrestling matches and get excited about it. So 2-3 times the father told them it's not proper duty, you are a brahmana. Brahmana means patan patan, not wrestling. Somehow they did not understand, they did not hear, and they kept on going against the father's order. So the sage became so angry and said, you are a brahmana, but you wish to become a wrestler, so you become a wrestler, but become demonic wrestler. and have demonic association. And that is how in the next life it is mentioned the five sons of Utatya, they were born to they were born as sons of King Mahishmati. And Kamsa, when he got all the powers from Brahmaji, it is mentioned Kamsa went on a victory tour, defeating all demons and getting all those demons in his camp. So when he reached Mahishmati, Kamsa challenged the king of Mahishmati. And the king of Mahishmati had his five celebrated sons who were wrestlers. So the king said, well, you fight with my sons. And if you win, then my kingdom is yours. Everyone, even me, is yours. So Kamsa easily defeated all the five of them. And in this way, Kamsa got the prize possession of these five wrestlers in his camp. And this is how they are here. And Krishna killed even them also. So in this way, Krishna killed Kuvalyapid. Krishna also killed the five wrestlers. Now, this episode of Krishna killing Chanur Mushtik is a very famous episode. In fact, if you find in many places where Krishna Lila is performed, amongst Mathura Lila, Kamsa's killing and Chanur Mushtik's killing is a famous one. In fact, there is a very famous verse also, which you may know also, which we have heard before coming to Krishna consciousness. Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Charanur Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishna Mande Jagadguru. So, no, celebrated events, where Krishna kills Chanur Mardhanam. He defeats, he kills Chanura. In fact, when Lord Nityanand Prabhu in his childhood would perform pastimes in Ekchakra, one of the pastimes he would fondly perform was also Krishna killing Krishna and Balaram killing Chanura and Mushtika. So, the celebrated pastime, many people know about it. And now here we see in this particular verse which we are reading that Krishna is entering the arena and there are 10 different types of people. They see Krishna in 10 different ways. So it is mentioned by Sridhara Swami that there are 12 rasas. There are 12 rasas in which Krishna consciousness can be experienced. Whereas in this verse there are 10 attitudes which are mentioned here. So 12 rasas, as we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is Shanta Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. These are the five primary rasas. And the seventh secondary rasa is Hasya Adbhuta Virya, Karuna Raudra, Bhayanak and Vibhatsa. So among these 10 attitudes or the 10 vision which people have in this verse, we can see one is a fury, that is a Raudra, which the wrestlers experience. Second is wonder, Adbhuta, which the men, the common men of Mathura experience. Third is laughter, that is Hasya, which the coward friends of Krishna experience. Fourth is chivalry, which is Viryaras, which the impious kings, who were all friends of Kamsa, experience. Mercy, Karunaras, which the parents of Krishna experience. Terror is Bhayanak, which Kamsa experienced. Ghastliness, Bhivatsaras, which the unintelligent people, they experienced. Conjugal love, which the woman in Mathura experience. Peaceful rasa, shanta rasa, which the yogis sitting in the audience, they experience. And loving devotion, which is part of Dasya rasa, which the Vrishni dynasty people experience. So there are different experience which was there in form of Krishna coming into the city of Mathura. So we find that, as Sridhara Swami mentions, that there are 12 kinds of rasas. And it is also mentioned in the purport that Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu gives an elaborate explanation of the 12 rasas. We find in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, the later chapters, wonderful explanation given by Srila Prabhupada through the teachings of Rupa Goswami of what are the different kinds of rasas. So since we are dealing with the 7 kinds of secondary rasas, we will see from Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu the amazing description of the 7 different types of rasas. So we'll begin with this description, which is the fourth division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada mentions in his book, Nectar of Devotion, that there are 7 kinds of indirect ecstasies. Some are compatible with each other, others are incompatible. And Prabhupada says, those rasas which conflict and overlap, they are called rasabhas. But those conflict which do not overlap, they are called rasaswarup. So Prabhupada begins the description of this with the first as Hasyaras, the ras of laughter. Prabhupada mentions in his commentary of the Nectar of Devotion that this Hasyaras is generally found in youngsters, but also can be found in a combination of youngsters and old men. Then Prabhupada gives an example. Just like one time in Vrindavan, one coward friend of Krishna called Krishna and said, Krishna, please open your mouth. And if you open your mouth, I will give you a nice sweet. I will give you sugar candy and cover it with yogurt. So it will be very tasty. It's called Makhan Mishri. I'll give you that. So please close your eyes, open your mouth. So Prabhupada mentions that when Krishna opened his mouth in anticipation to get a Makhan Mishri in his mouth, what happened is that Krishna's friend put a flower in Krishna's mouth, and the flower happened to be very bitter in taste. So Krishna had the flower in mouth and he started chewing the flower. And started chewing the flower, Krishna experienced great distress in form of bitterness. And when that happened, all the coward friends of Krishna had a good laugh. So this is called as Hasyaras within Sakhyaras. One time a palmist, one person who sees the palm and makes predictions, he came to the house of Nanda Maharaj. So when he came to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj asked this palmist, my dear palmist, it's a great fortune that you have come to our house. Kindly see the hand of my son and see whether my son is going to live a long life. And second, please see whether he will maintain my cows in future. So when this was told the palmist just kept smiling. And Nanda Maharaj became confused and he asked the palmist, why are you smiling? Why are you not saying, will my son Krishna not live long? Or will my son Krishna not maintain my cows? Well, the palmist was smiling because he saw the hands of Krishna and he was thinking, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nanda Maharaj is asking, will he maintain my cows? Will he live long life? So that made him laugh. So he covered his mouth but he kept laughing. So that is called as Hasyaras. So Prabhupada mentions in that Hasyaras category, there are different divisions of Hasyaras. So three are major divisions and three are minor divisions. So major divisions are Smita, Hasita, Vihasita, and minor divisions are Avahasita, Apahasita, and Atihasita. I think so, as we go through this Hasita, we will also experience the same Hasita. So first one is Smita. Nectar of Devotion mentions, Smita means you smile, but your teeth is not visible. But there is a change in your face structure. That means your eyes, they become small, and your cheek expands. But you don't show your teeth. That's called Smita. So one time Krishna stole yogurt in some gopi's house. That house belonged to one gopi, her name was Jarati Gopi. So when she happened to be in the house and she realized that someone has come to steal something from her house. And she also realized it is Krishna. So Krishna was eating the yogurt along with Balaram and then Krishna realized that he has been detected and that Jarati Gopi is now about to enter the room and catch him. So Krishna became very afraid. And Krishna immediately took shelter of Balaram and told, oh Lord Balaram, I have stolen something. See, but the biggest problem is now I am going to get caught. So please help me. And in this way Krishna desperately took shelter of Balaramji. Now when this pastime was happening, some sages in the heavenly planet were watching this pastime. And when they were watching this pastime, they know about Krishna, who Krishna is. They began to smile in a Smita fashion. That means they smiled, but they didn't open their mouth and showed their teeth. The next is Hasita. Hasita means smile, but teeth little visible. It is mentioned that once Krishna secretly entered Srimati Radharani's in-law's house in Javad, and Krishna was in privacy with Srimati Radharani. Just at that time, Abhimanyu also entered the house. So when Abhimanyu entered the house, Krishna realized that Abhimanyu has come. So immediately Krishna took the form of Abhimanyu and went to Jatila and told Jatila, see who has come. It is Krishna who has taken the form of Abhimanyu. So kindly drive him away from the home. So Jatila became confused. She saw Abhimanyu and she saw another Abhimanyu. But she was convinced that this Abhimanyu is my son, but this Abhimanyu is Krishna. So she took up a broom in her hand and she started chastising Abhimanyu, who was actually her son. Chastising her that you deceptive Krishna, you have come here to trick me, but I will not leave you. And then she was using the broom and she was chastising and beating Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was saying, oh mother, why you are beating me? I am the real Abhimanyu. But she continued beating. So there were many girlfriends of Radharani who were around in Javad. So they were hiding and they were seeing from the windows and doors. And they were that time smiling in a Hasita fashion. That means they are smiling. They are not making a sound, but they were showing their teeth. Their laughter was hasita. The next is vihasita. Vihasita means laughter is distinctly visible in the form of all teeth being shown. So one time Krishna entered a house to steal yogurt. That time the housewife, the lady of that house, was sleeping. So Krishna entered the house, and then Krishna entered alone. His friends were not coming. So Krishna told all of them, please come, don't worry. And he assured everyone. And then he showed to all of them, see this lady, she is fast asleep. Don't you hear? She is snoring also. And therefore she will never catch us. So this lady, she was not sleeping. She was waiting for Krishna to come and catch Krishna. But she was pretending to sleep. But when she heard Krishna's assurance to the coward friends, don't worry, that this lady is sleeping and that she is snoring, she could not stop herself from laughing. And that time she laughed such a way that her teeth was visible and sound also came. So Krishna ran away from that place. So this was major division of Hasyaras. Minor division of Hasyaras is Avahasita. That means while smiling, the nose gets puffed up, the eyes get squinted. So one time, Krishna returned home quite a little late in the morning after performing rasa dance. So this particular day, he was seen by Yashoda. And generally, Yashoda has always an idea that Krishna is sleeping in the room and that I have to go and wake up. So Krishna always comes in time to sleep, make a pretension, and Yashoda comes and wakes up Krishna. So that is the style. So Yashoda thinks Krishna is sleeping, but gopis know Krishna is not sleeping. Just like one time I remember, this story was spoken by Kadam Kanan Maharaj in his offering to Ayendra Prabhu. She was mentioning that when he was the president of Krishna Balaram temple, and he would get up a little early in the morning and chant his rounds. So around 2:30 in the morning he came in temple hall to chant his rounds. And that time this 24-hour kirtan party was doing kirtan. So Ayendra Prabhu was also sitting and he was also chanting his rounds. And this kirtan party who was doing kirtan, that kirtaniya, he was chanting a little loudly. So Kadam Kanan Maharaj waited for some time, then he went to the leader Kirtani and told him, Krishna is sleeping, chant little softer. So immediately Ayendra Prabhu saw Kadam Kanan Maharaj and said, yes, Mother Yashoda thinks always that Krishna is sleeping, but everyone knows Krishna is not sleeping, Krishna is performing rasa dance. So anyways, Krishna was that time little late, and Yashoda saw Krishna, and she was surprised how Krishna is now not sleeping. And she saw something remarkable in Krishna's appearance. She saw Krishna had a good makeup. So she asked, Mother Yashoda asked Krishna, oh Krishna, how come you look as if you are smeared with blue oxides on your face? And you are also wearing a blue garment as if Lord Balaram has given you those garlands. So all those questions were asked to Krishna. Krishna was very much perturbed. Now he could not answer someone in Matsalya Ras about Madhurya Ras. So Krishna was perturbed, he could not reply to the questions of Mother Yashoda. Meanwhile, the gopis whom Krishna from Rasila with, they were also nearby. And when they saw the perturbedness of Krishna, the Krishna, how he was caught up. So that time it is mentioned that they began to smile or laugh in avahasita roop. That means they smiled with their nose puffed up and their eyes squinted. The next is apahasita. Apahasita is that type of smile which adds up tears in one's eye and the shoulder starts shaking. So once some gopis, they called child Krishna. Krishna was very small. And they told Krishna that we want to give you a sweet. Do you want? And Krishna said, yes, I want a sweet. So the gopis said, well, we'll give you a sweet if you dance for us. And immediately Krishna started dancing in novel ways. And the gopis were clapping and singing a song. So Krishna was dancing on the tune of gopis. At that time, Narad Muni was on his aerial view of Vrindavan. And he happened to see this pastime of Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, dancing on the tune of gopis. And Narad Muni started contemplating, this is Supreme Lord. He is the controller of Brahma and Shiva. In fact, on his tune, everyone dances. And this God is now as a small child dancing for the gopis' pleasure. And Narad Muni just could not reconcile the two facts, that he is Supreme Lord, yet he is dancing for some ordinary cowherd girls. So that made Narad Muni laugh so much that he had tears in his eyes and his shoulders were shaking loudly. So we find in our experience also many times a person who's very grave, he starts dancing in a familiar way or he starts talking in a funny way. It makes everyone laugh because it is unprecedented, it never happens so much. Similarly, Krishna, for demigods and for great rishis, it is unprecedented that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom everyone is offering prayers, he is dancing to the tune of gopis. So in this way there is apahasita. And the last one is atihasita. That is overcoming laughter, overwhelming laughter. Overwhelming laughter when which a person starts clapping his hands and then leaps in air and also starts hitting his legs. So there's a nice story which is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion about this. However, one parallel story which I also found, which has connection with Srila Prabhupada, same story which Prabhupada narrates. So one time, long back when, during Prabhupada, when he was physically present, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela Volume 1 came out of the print. And when it came out of print, I guess that is a volume where Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they have a very joking relationship in the house of Advaita Acharya, where Advaita Acharya cooks so much of food and Nityananda Prabhu says this is not enough. So first time ever this one devotees were reading that pastime. So many devotees appreciated and they thought, well, there is humor even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So they were so much appreciating that one of the devotees wanted to tell this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, there is so much of humor in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So he was anticipating for a time where he could appreciate Srila Prabhupada's purports and translations of CC. So one time when Prabhupada was riding in a car, this devotee happened to be with Prabhupada. So this devotee said, Prabhupada, there is so much of humor in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada saw him and said, yes, why Chaitanya Charitamrita? The entire Krishna consciousness is full of humor, Prabhupada said. The spiritual world is full of humor. And Prabhupada told a nice story to him. And Prabhupada told that one time Krishna wanted to pull someone's leg and cause fun. So Krishna went to an old lady in Vrindavan. She was very ugly. So Krishna said, oh ugly old lady, I know you are waiting for a perfect match. And I know that because your face is beautiful like a monkey, I want that you should get married to the best of monkeys in Vrindavan. That will be the best match. So kindly go and find a best monkey. So Krishna was trying to get some fun from that old lady, and Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys and also gopis were there. So Krishna wanted to have a fun. The object of fun was the old lady. The old lady was little more chatur. The old lady said, Krishna, see, I am old, I am ugly. I am your devotee. I have given up all material desires. The only person I aspire for my life is you. So I don't know any suitable monkey in my life whom I can approach, but I know I can approach you. So when that was spoken, it was like a rebound laugh. Krishna wanted to have fun with her, but it happened that Krishna was the object of fun. As soon as it was spoken, when the lady said that, Krishna, you are the only best suitable match for me, immediately all the friends of Krishna and all the gopis of Krishna started laughing loudly, clapping their hands and hitting their hands on their legs. And Prabhupada, while mentioning his story, Prabhupada also made his eyes big, Prabhupada also clapped, Prabhupada also hit his hand on his legs, and Prabhupada said, in this way the gopis defeated Krishna by laughing. So this is called as Atihasita. So this is one of the rasas. The second rasa is astonishment, Adbhuta rasa. Adbhuta rasa is one when one perceives astonishment or wonder either through his own direct perception, that means his own eyes, or he hears and perceives astonishment. So it is mentioned that when Krishna was lifting the Govardhan hill, Govardhan mountain, it is mentioned that one gopi, elderly gopi, went to Mother Yashoda and said, I can't believe this. This is your son who comes running to you to ask for milk. When there is thunder and storm and the clouds are rumbling, he comes and immediately hides himself in your veil. And this Krishna I am seeing, he is holding the mighty Govardhan hill, that too on his left hand, without any pain. And then she told Mother Yashoda, isn't it mysterious? Isn't it wondrous? So Prabhupada mentions that this is a direct eye perception of wonder. The indirect eye perception of wonder Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion is when Maharaj Parikshit is hearing Sukadeva Goswami narrating Krishna killing Narakasura. So when Krishna reaches Narakasura's capital, and then Sukadeva Goswami explained that Narakasura has a huge army of 11 Akshohani divisions. So seeing that, Maharaj Parikshit becomes a little more fearful. And he starts crying. Tears come from his eyes. That what will happen to Krishna now? And then when he hears that all 11 Akshohani soldiers are attacking Krishna simultaneously, and they're all throwing arrows, so he becomes more nervous. And then Sukadeva Goswami sees the nervousness of Parikshit Maharaj and says, but you should know, Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna only used 3 arrows. And in his 3 arrows, with his 3 arrows, he killed all the 11 Akshohani soldiers. So as soon as Parikshit Maharaj heard that, it is mentioned, Parikshit Maharaj rubbed the tears from his eyes and he became overwhelmed with astonishment that how Krishna can do wonderful things. With just 3 arrows, he killed 11 Akshohani soldiers. So that is astonishment. And then there is chivalry, there is other rasas. So it is mentioned that these 10 attitudes which have been seen in this particular verse of Krishna, people are saying Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that out of these 10, 4 people, they are not experiencing proper rasa with Krishna because they are not favorable. Kamsa, the wrestlers, the unintelligent man and the impious rulers. Because they have no knowledge of Krishna, so they are experiencing rasas, but the rasa is not favorable. Favorable rasa is when you serve Krishna, like that. So, like for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also mentions in his purport that Krishna is raso-vai-saha. He is akila rasamrita murti. That means he is the embodiment of all rasas. Everyone can find all rasas coming from Krishna. So, like for example, Krishna's one feature is he is very attractive. And when he is very attractive, he attracts everyone's heart, no matter who is he. For time being, a demon also gets attracted to Krishna. Like for when Hiranyakashipu appeared from the pillar, when Narasingha appeared from the pillar, Hiranyakashipu became attracted to Narasingha. When he was studying the form of Narasingha, who this person is? And then he realized, oh, he is my enemy. And then he started fighting with him. So the first instance, Krishna even attracts a demon. Chandur Mustik were thinking, who is this person? Like when Krishna and Balaram entered the arena, Kamsa felt fear, but immediately asked his soldiers and his minister, who is this? Kamsa, who is this? These 2 boys, you know? And the soldier said, ye wohi hai, jisko aapne bulaya hai. The 2 persons whom you have called. Then Kamsa became more concerned. And then he said, how they came inside? What about Kuvalya Peed? He said, you see those 2 big things which they are carrying? That is Kuvalya Peed tusk. So Kamsa became more frightened. So immediately, Chandur Mustik, jao, aage jao, go ahead. So that's how Kamsa was frightened. But initially he was also amazed, who these people are? So Krishna attracts everyone. So Krishna is attractive to non-devotees, Krishna is attractive definitely to devotees. In fact, Krishna attracts himself. In Dwarka it is mentioned, Krishna was once walking to the assembly hall, and suddenly from very far off he saw an attractive person is walking towards him. Actually, there was no attractive person. Krishna was seeing his own reflection in a jewel pillar. And Krishna is saying, who is this beautiful person who has come to Dwarka? Let me see him. So when he came closer, he saw that it was his own reflection. So they mentioned that Krishna said, I am so beautiful. I never knew that. So one of the reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is also, Krishna had the desire, I don't know myself how beautiful I am. So I should experience that beauty. And then he went to Rukmini and Rukmini told that how you do not know one thing which your devotees experience. So unless you become devotee, you cannot experience that. So Krishna desired to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna attracts himself. Krishna attracted Lord Narayan. In Dwarka Lila we see that how Arjuna and Krishna had to go to get the Brahmana's children from Mahavishnu. Krishna attracts goddess of fortune. So Krishna attracts everyone. So Krishna is very attractive. I was thinking that Krishna has attracted all of us in this ISKCON movement. You know? So that is also Krishna's greatness. Now if you see some examples from a temple, many people have come to ISKCON Chopari temple for various reasons, just like 10 people here they are mentioned, you know. They have different attitudes for coming to Krishna. So we can also have examples. We have people have come to Krishna consciousness connected to our temple for various reasons. Like one time one person came and said, hey, mandir mein bahut shanti hai. Many people come to temple for shanti. That means definitely they are saying that outside there is a shanti. Like one person, he was walking on his lane, 7 km Munshi Mark. He happened to come from Rajasthan. So he was feeling a little awkward in Mumbai city. But he walked through the front street, he saw a beautiful structure with Rajasthan stone, Jaipur stone. So he thought, "Hare, something is resembling my upbringing." So he said, "Let me check." He didn't know his temple, he just went, came inside. What is the structure, which is Rajasthani structure? Maybe something Rajasthani will be available here, you know. So he came inside and then he saw beautiful deities, and every day he would walk and come for darshan, eventually became a devotee. So his attraction was Jaipur stone. Then one boy, he was watching TV, and then he just changed the channel, and Atma serial was there, and Gaurangpur was giving lecture, and B.Tech IIT. So this boy thought, he was preparing for IIT Z entrance exam. So he thought, maybe I should go and check out how to pass IIT, get some tips from this person, he's a very nice speaker. So he came to temple with that particular reason. He became a devotee eventually. So I remember when initially when I came to temple, I was coming with my father, and one person was coming to temple. So that time council system was recently introduced. So my father had joined a council system. There were initially very few counselors that time, 4 to 5. So this man was new. He said, "I also want to join council system," and decided to join Krishna Chandra Pool's counseling group. So my father told him, "Ask him today. You stay so far away in central area, how you will come for counseling meeting to Krishna Chandra Pool's house?" He said, "Prabhu, we don't know. Krishna Chandra Pool is a very big industrialist, you know. It will have some important thing, you know. I can always tell my friends and my family member that I am going to Rishikesh Nafarlal's house for counseling meeting. He is my counselor, you know." Anyways, people come for various reasons for Krishna consciousness. Then we know the story of how when Sankirtan Prabhu joined and his family members were not happy. And when they were not happy, then an article came in paper, which was sort of a criticism against our temple. But the article also carried a line that, you know, this temple has many educated people, lawyers, doctors, engineers. So somehow the one person read the article, and the whole article, it just struck him, that line, that how can such educated people join temple who are engineer, lawyer, doctors? So he came to temple, and eventually he became a devotee. Then, sometimes someone may not become a devotee. Like I remember when I was trying to make some of my friends devotee in my college. So I was very shocked to hear when I invited one of my friends. I told him, "Can you come to temple please? We have Sunday festival and Radhanath Maharaj is also there." So you know what he asked me? He said, "Are there girls in your temple?" So I was shocked to even answer him also. He said, "Are they very beautiful also?" So there can be various reasons why people can come to temple and may not become devotees also. Or someone may come to temple thinking that ISKCON means smuggling items. So I can get something which is like, you know, I've heard about ISKCON and smugglers and all. You know. So we had some devotees who came thinking that they'll get some gold, something like that. Of course they got gold. Krishna consciousness is more than gold. And then some people may come to eat prasad, which is very famous and more number in category. So like one person, he was always looking for some programs where he can have good food on Sundays. So one particular day he could not find anything. So he saw many people coming from this particular lane outside in Chowpatty. So he entered this temple and saw that prasad is being distributed. So he took prasad. And 2-3 weeks he just came and took prasad, that's all. He did not even know the first floor temple is there. And later then he saw people are coming down from there upstairs. You know? So he also came upstairs one particular day. And then he saw that there's something temple here, some program is going on. So he happened to attend the program, Sunday feast program. And then he was welcomed also, newcomer, you know, Haribol, given prasadam. And then our guest reception also took care of him. And eventually he was very happy and he became a devotee. And he is a counselor. So I was just wondering that, you know, I was trying to analyze my own life, that I have also come for so many reasons. For one reason I have come to Krishna consciousness, and even today I have so many reasons to be in Krishna consciousness. So recently I was reading a purport of Srila Prabhupada mentioning that, you know, there are different types of bhakti, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti and shuddha bhakti. I was shocked to see Prabhupada writing there, if someone is in karma mishra bhakti, then he will go to heavenly planet, Prabhupada said. Someone is in Jnana Mishra Bhakti, he will get liberation. But Shuddha Bhakti, only that person will achieve Krishna. So I was shocked. Initially I was happy to hear the statement, then I realized, oh, Let me analyze my life. Where I stand? Shuddha Bhakti? I guess not yet. If not Shuddha Bhakti, who is the next one? Karma or Jnana Mishra Bhakti? So, then I analyze that actually so much attachment is there. We attachment, so many facilities, like we attach to the, when we are staying in the association of devotees, we are attached to facilities in association of devotees. We are attached to the prasad we cooked, you know. Aaj kya banaya prasad mein? Like one time I got annoyed with chapati being half cooked. It's a facility. Or sometimes we ask, aaj breakfast mein kya bana? Aaj kokum hai ki lime juice hai? So that's another facility we are asking. So we are not seeing as a mercy of Krishna. At least I didn't see as mercy of Krishna. I see what is there for my enjoyment. And then, like for example, we may attach to certain gadgets, certain facilities in our life. We may think, unless I have that, how can I preach? I will become disturbed. We want that facility in our life. If we don't have that facility, how can I serve Krishna? So that is also again fruitive mentality in bhakti. Or we may ask, that I want to preach in my own style, you know. I don't just travel and preach. Even though I've been told to stay in one place, not go anywhere. So again, fruity mentality we can have in bhakti. Or jnana mishra bhakti, aspiring for liberation. So once Radhanath Maharaj mentioning a nice point, that, you know, we can also have this jnana mishra bhakti in our life. In what sense? We want some peaceful atmosphere in bhakti. So Maharaj mentioned a nice story. This is in some 1990 lecture of Maharaj. So Maharaj happened to, that time this style of preaching of interfaith was very popular here. So Maharaj happened to go to a monastery in Himalayas to learn something from them. So Maharaj stayed for 2-3 days in that monastery. So on third day he happened to meet the guru of the monastery. So the guru asked Radhanath Swami Maharaj that, so why have you come here? So he said, we have come to learn from you. No, we are seeing that your monastery is so shant, a very peaceful atmosphere. Everyone is very peaceful. So you can't learn this peace here. You know, you can't learn peace from us. So Maharaj shocked. Maharaj said, why? No, because you are Krishna's devotee. If you want peace, you have to give up Krishna. You have to give up God. So Maharaj said, why are you saying like that? Because Krishna never guarantees peace. Krishna guarantees bliss, ananda. But for that ananda, you may not be peaceful also. So Maharaj mentioning that same thing. Our life may be like that. That it may not be peaceful. Execution of Krishna consciousness may be struggle. But the end result Krishna promises, the bliss, that part is there. Deva Srila Prabhupada said in Seattle lecture in 1969, Yam labdhva chaparam labham na manyate adhikam tatha. And once you get Krishna consciousness, then there is nothing else to be enjoyed, nothing else to be aspired for. And then, na dukhe na guru vichalyata. That means when we get Krishna consciousness, our goal, then slowly what happens? Even there is disturbance, we will not be disturbed. Just like Pandavas in midst of disturbance, but they never said, Krishna, why this is happening to me? Why? Because Pandavas were very much comfortable, because Krishna was always with them. So their confidence was in Krishna, that Krishna is there, why should I even ask for him? So it is mentioned, Prabhupada even mentioned this story in that lecture, that a devotee is very confident, because that is a symptom of Sharanagati, confidence in Krishna. And Prabhupada gave his own example that when he was traveling as a young man in tram, and he had a small child, his own child, second child with him. That time the conductor of a tram came, and he wanted to joke with the son of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, oh, hey, give your ticket. So this boy said, I don't have a ticket. So buy a ticket, so I don't have money, the boy said. So the conductor joked with him and said, okay, then get down from the tram. So the boy became very angry and said, why should I get down from the tram? Why should I buy a ticket? My father is there. He will buy a ticket for me. He has money. And the conductor very smiled, very laughed. He was joking with the boy, but he smiled and laughed that this boy is very intelligent, you know. So Prabhupada said, this small child is showing confidence in his parent. Why? Because he knew father is there. Everything will be taken care of. So that is how a devotee feels. He is not caring for anything. He comes in Krishna consciousness, whatever reason may be. He stays in Krishna consciousness, whatever reason may be. But he knows, as he continues in Krishna consciousness, becoming more serious and sincere, then one day Krishna will, that ornament and that diamond, Dhruva Maharaj was searching for that diamond in form of a post. But he realized, after practicing Krishna consciousness, sincere sadhana, as mentioned by Narad Muni, he understood, I am searching for broken pieces of glass. So similarly in personal life, we can also understand that we may attach to so many things, but if we sincerely practice Krishna consciousness, then finally we'll understand that actually ornament, the precious jewel, is not in facilities, it is in the altar. Gopina standing there. And then once we achieve that, and we have confidence in Krishna, then nothing can move us. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry, I'm over time. We'll not take any questions or comments. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.